Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for another time of coming before you, Lord. Another time, Lord, to bring praise and worship to you, Lord. You are deserving of our praise and our worship. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have prepared this day, Lord. The word that you have placed within Pastor Henry, the songs that you have given the worship team, Lord. All this is of your Holy Spirit's doing, Lord. Thank you for leading every person, Lord, that that will present this morning to you, Lord. Thank you for every person that is here this day, Lord, with an open heart, ready to receive, Lord, what you have set for them. We ask, Lord, that you would lift off all the cares of the world this morning, Lord, that we would just be focusing on you only, Lord. Not on anything else that's going on around us, Lord, that we would just be able to focus on you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless what you're going to do this morning. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, amen. Yes. Let's go into worship.
You know, as things start to look uglier and uglier in our world, it's not a moment for us to shy away, but it's a moment for us to dig deeper and allow God to tell us where to move. See, people begin to worry about what they see, but we have to realize that we got to realize that sometimes as things look uglier, it's just more of an opportunity for us to stand apart, right? That's the thing, is that God, God is nothing like this world, right? And because He's nothing like it, we should be shining bright, because we should be a reflection of who He is. But see, when fear becomes a part of something and you let yourself run off of fear, or if you let yourself get excited because of what the person next to you is saying, you reflect exactly what they're doing. See, when you see things that don't make you happy or that make you nervous or that aren't necessarily going your way, that's okay. See, because God always knows what He's doing, right? We know that. But see, what happens is that even though we say it, our actions always don't show it. Because we can sit here and we can say, God, I'm trusting what you're doing. I know that you know what you're doing. But if we're freaking out and we're worried and we're stressed out because the state of our country is going downhill and we don't know what to do, see, you're not trusting what God's doing. We're coming to a time where there's really going to be a strong difference, right? We're already, in my opinion, we're already in that time. Because that's the thing, is as things around us turn uglier, look worse to us, see, it's not a time for us to panic. It's a time for us to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Because I know that you're going to do something awesome within it. See, it's about the mindset of what we're allowing God to do in our lives, right? It's about us really surrendering, really saying, nope, I'm not going to get excited about this. I'm not going to let you get me mad. Because I know God's doing something, and I want to be a reflection of Him, not a reflection of what everybody else is doing, right? See, you have more opportunities. opportunity to stand apart now than ever before when you allow God to shine through who you are. When you allow Him to give you direction, show you where you're going, show you what He wants you to do, show you how to react in situations. All of those things are things that if we allow God to lead us in, we become more effective to the people around us that we're wanting to reach. See, we're in a mission field. We always have been. But it doesn't be that we have to be wagging a finger at people constantly. We just gotta be walking in what God's telling us to do. And He knows the best way to speak to the person next to you. He knows them better than we could ever know them. See, it's where our personal time becomes so important, because those moments where you're feeling so maybe down or anxious about things, if you just take the time with Him instead of waiting until the next time you're in church or waiting until, no, see, that's the thing, is you can meet with Him then and there in that moment. And if you allow Him to move in your life on a regular basis and constantly, you begin to see as He works through situations more, and you become more tuned in to what He's telling you to do. So that when you're not sure of the move you should make, or you're feeling anxious, He'll speak to you on it. See, we gotta be moving in this flow. We gotta be allowing Him to speak to us, and not just speak to us, but also being obedient in the things that He's giving us. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't matter if it's not the move we wanted. It doesn't matter if things don't look right or the situation doesn't seem right. He knows what He's doing in every single moment. So let Him do it.
Tagging on to what Rebecca was saying earlier, she reminded me of Daniel 11:32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery. But here's the key part. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That's who we are.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, good morning.
Isn't that a powerful song? Yeah. I just want to come up here and give praise and glory to God for this experience that I got yesterday and Friday. So I was one of the adults that went to the children's event. And man, God moved me. He touched me.
Yeah, come on.
And showed me an experience that I've never experienced before. And what He showed me was, He's like, Hector, you gotta see it like a child. You know? Like, how many of you can say, you know what? Let's look at this kingdom like children do. Cause in this verse it says that he called a little child to Him and placed the child among them, and He said, truly, I tell you, unless you change, that's a big word there, change, and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. But see, with me, He's like, just look at them. Look at all these kids and see, they don't worry about bills. They don't worry about who saying anything to them or what they think about them at that moment. I'm sure other times they're not. But at that moment, all they were doing is praising and lifting up their hands to God and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I want to take this moment. Becca, is it all right if you can sing that chorus again? And I want everybody, wherever you're at, sitting down, standing up, whatever the Lord leads you to do, just raise up your hands and sing that chorus one more time. And give Him praise and give Him glory. Thank Him for whatever He has done in your life and what he's about to do in your life. Just take that moment and thank him. Make that feel good? That was the experience that God showed me, that God allowed me to have at that moment. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. And I want to tell you that no matter what you are going through, God is always there with you. He is holding you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's a promise. That's a promise. Thank you, guys.
Everybody, what I wanted to share is that God loves you, and it's not that we first loved him, it's because he first loved us, and that he came to us and he said, I want to love you, but at the same time I want you to be who I am. So that means that we love each other. The commandments that he has given, he gave us where we would praise God and we would look at him. But the second one was that you would love each other. And he said that he would be there for you. And as he is, so are we. So we are filled with love. And there's things that he does within us that he's going to show us that he loves us. But the thing is that we need to look at it the way he sees it. He says, my loving kindness will bring you to repentance. It's his loving kindness within us that brings people. We don't have to go. It says, the scripture says, is you don't go with a whip or a stick or to convince or nag somebody to come to him. He says, you love them. And because you've loved them, you're planting seed, and I will draw them to me. So it's not telling somebody what they're doing wrong. You're telling them what they're doing right. You tell them that they are precious within his sight and that they are loved, because showing them that they're loved will draw them to him. Telling them the opposite will just have them walk away from him. One of the scriptures that I have found here, lost my page. Okay. It says, I too tell what I know, for I am full of words, and the spirit within me compels me like new wine skin ready to burst. I must speak and find relief. I must open my lips and reply. So open your lips to know about his love, not about his what he condemns, because he doesn't condemn us. What he does is he draws us to him with love and compassion. He will not rebuke you. He will guide you in. So the whole matter of it is that who he is, so are we. And if we can come with love and compassion, and I think the most thing is that we have to understand that he loves you. He comes to you with love and compassion. And as he comes to you with love and compassion, he wants you to flow out. He wants to let whatever he put within you to spread to others, because he is a God of love. He is a God of truth. He is a God that wants to he smiles when he sees you. And sometimes we feel like, how can he smile what I did? Because he doesn't look at what we've done. He looks at who we are, and we are righteous before him. So stop looking at the things that are what we think we are. Start saying the things that he says we are.
Good morning, church. I'm going to ask you to give some input if you want to hear about a little girl named Hadassah in the Bible. It's in the book of Esther, so it's all purely biblical. But I'm going to ask you if you want to hear how Hadassah became Queen Esther. Anybody? All right, there's a few. Okay. So in Esther, there was a little girl. She was an orphan. Because of war and crime, she was literally an orphan. That alone touches me. If any of you don't have your parents anymore, or if you lost anything this year, or you've had anything that went sour or didn't go your way, or someone you know is very sick. So this little girl, the uncle took and said, I'll raise you. So Mordecai raised her, but when the king lost his queen, he took the most beautiful virgins, the innocent girls, and was looking for a new queen. So this little girl changed her name so she could be a top secret Jew, but the beauty flowed from inside of her. She glowed in the dark, just like you do. You glow in the dark when you do what's right, no matter of captivity, whatever's in the news, the weather, the economy, you glow in the dark. Okay, so what happened was she found out through Mordecai that the king had agreed to kill all the Jews and they had no right to fight back. Sound familiar? The Jews had no right to pick up any weapon. This is in Esther. You can look it up. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. So Mordecai went and said, you know, more than just the Jews are going to perish. Because when they find out who you are, you're not going to last either. So Esther 4, in every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing. So that's what I've been doing recently. Fasting for the church and for Arizona and for America. He also gave him a copy of how they were going to annihilate all the Jews. You know what that means? That means the babies. That means the pregnant mamas. Totally wipe out the Jewish nation. And he said, he instructed her to go to the king's presence, which was her husband, and to beg for mercy, which I do right now over America, and plead for her people, which I plead for my people. And then this is the kicker. He says, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. Verse 14, for if you remain silent, if we don't stand up for what we believe in every way, every text, every email, everything we do, our neighbors, our friends, walking our dogs, everything, says in the Word of God, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will rise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. She was speaking of herself. And who knows that you, all of you, have come to this royal position because you are all daughters and sons of the King of Kings for this royal position for such a time as this. If you've looked at the news, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast from me. Do not eat for 3 days or nights. I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king as though it is against the law, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So this is a little girl who went from orphan, had to change her name. She's in another nation. She's in captivity, but she screwed up her courage and said, guess what? I'll fast and pray, and I want the Lord's will. I want to be used of the kingdom. I don't want to be a silent sit in the back. I don't know. I can't think. No, it's in the Word. He wants you to stand and continue to stand for what you believe in. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm saying stand up. Do what is right, pure, and holy. You read the Bible. You decide what is right. And this little girl went to the king and he said, I will give you as much as half the kingdom. Women were property in that time. And when he said, as the queen, I will give you as much as half the kingdom, he was saying, I honor my wife. So I honor wives and husbands right now in the marriage bed. And he said, I will come and eat with you. She said, I want you to give me my life, is what Esther said. Give me my life and that of my people. Will you save my people? So it had to come out, her identity. And when it came out, she had to realize she was a Jew, and her fasting and praying means who was listening? Anybody? God Almighty. Jesus, Holy Spirit was listening. And were the Jewish people saved? Nobody knows if the Jewish people are still alive. Yes. She stood when it was unpopular. She stood when it was like, oh, just little old me. I don't have any rights. I don't have a voice. She stood. And then the Jews had a right to what? Pick up a weapon and defend themselves. He changed the course of nature and that decree and said, Jews can stand up for themselves or we would have none right now. You understand? He stood and changed the rules because a little girl said, I will fast and pray and I will listen to the Lord and I will do what's right when it's unpopular. I pray this through Christ. You get the power of yourself and your voice.
So the Lord spoke to me and he said, go to Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I believe that the theme this morning is love. Edifying each other, loving each other, no matter what you're going through, no matter what differences you may have, no matter what, it's all junk. What's truth is in love. Jesus Christ is love. We're to be love no matter what we're going through. We're to love each other and just speak truth in love. You know, the world says if you can't say something nice, don't say it at all, right? But they don't even realize that they're coming from the Bible. God is love, and we're to be love no matter what. Amen.
Hi, so at different points in my life, like, God will give me a verse, you know, to sit there and, like, whether it be good or bad, just to stand on, you know, during that period of time. And this is what the Lord gave me. So it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And I think we need that just the perspective, you know, just perspective on what we're really doing here is going to be for the Lord, you know, to get a close relationship with the Lord and to know his love, his kindness, you know, that he has for everybody. All right, then I just want to share that. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, everybody, for those words. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you glad to be here? Are you hungry for something from the Lord? If you haven't received it during worship time, maybe then now is the time. But I'll tell you, once you walk through those doors, be expecting. Is that okay? As a matter of fact, as you're driving here, be expecting. Amen? As a matter of fact, as you get up in the morning, be expecting. Amen? As a matter of fact, as you walk all through your week, be expecting. Can you say amen? You know what? God looks for a hungry heart. Come, you say amen.
Amen.
You know that. If you're hungry, he's going to feed you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, the title of the sermon today, does anybody know? Let me see that on your bulletin. Keep it clean. Keep it clean. And I'm just going to, when I was going after the word of God, God began to say something to me and began to speak some things to me. But he says, I expect the cleanliness out of my people. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you know that God is not a messy God?
Amen.
Is that right? He's not a messy God. He isn't. And I remember a lady telling me one time, and she goes, oh, I was telling her about Jesus, and she goes, oh, and you, what do you think about the Old Testament? I said, I love the Old Testament. She goes, you love it when they kill all those animals? And God is a messy God. I said, no, man is a messy man.
Amen.
We make a mess, and God cleans it up. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that's just God. He loves us, just like it's been said this morning. He loves you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Ooh, I sense the Holy Spirit in the room.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Rise up, O Lord. Can you say amen? I mean, you know, we're not waiting for God to come down, and we're waiting for him to rise up within us. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Let him rise up. Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be defeated. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to take you to the book of 2 Chronicles, if you will, chapter 29. How many of you like reading about the kings in the Old Testament? Man, I love reading about the kings. I just do. I did, and I was telling folks this morning that we're kings and priests. Is that right? So when you read the kings, when you read the book of Chronicles, where it talks about all the kings and what they did, or First and Second Kings, when you read through those things, you can see, it can give you an idea of what not to do. Can you say amen to that? Is it, hey man, maybe I better not do that, because in Kings, how many remember Naboth? Naboth had a vineyard, and Ahab wanted the vineyard. Oh man. So he told him, hey Naboth, hey man, how about if I buy your vineyard? He said, no, I can't. It's handed down from generation to generation. My father's had this vineyard, so we can't. He goes, yeah, but it's in a good spot. It's right next to the castle. Please sell me your your vineyard. No. He said no to the king. So if you read the story, you see that King Ahab went home, and he got down on his bed, and he started having a little wah-wah session. Wah, 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 wah. And guess who comes in?
Jezebel.
Jezebel. She comes in. What are you crying about? Well, Naboth wouldn't give me my vineyard. What? Wah. Mwah, mwah. He's the king. Excuse me. Sorry, man. Getting a little shower on myself. He's the king. And she said, hey, you're the king, man. So she devises a plan to get Naboth and to kill him. Murder. And so, you know, I mean, I don't even know why I started that, except for the fact is, reading these kings, it will help you to understand some of the things God likes and some of the things God don't like. Can you say amen? He don't like you don't like us going around killing people. He don't like us going around shooting spears at each other. Can you say amen to that? So how many know we shoot spears, invisible spears? How many say amen? Woo, come on, man. We have a tendency to hurt each other. Can you say amen? And God is saying, nah, not anymore. My kids are my kids. And I have sent my Holy Spirit, and he's gonna talk. But we're gonna get to that. Can you say amen? I will tell you, as I was studying this, as I was looking at it, as God was speaking to my heart, he began to convict me. Thy rod, God. Thy rod, O God, and your staff. It comforts me. Because when he begins to speak to me about me, woo, and he says, I want to do a little adjustment in you. It takes a little bit of humbling. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
It takes a little bit of realizing, you know what, God, you're saying something to me. I need to pay attention.
Yeah.
Is that right? Praise God. Can you all pay attention this morning? Can't pay a lot of my bills, but I can pay attention. Can you say amen to that? Oh, come on, man. Ooh, man. So let's look at this. Let's look at King Hezekiah. His dad was a kind of a bad king. His dad was Ahaz. And Ahaz was afraid of his enemies. Can I tell you, fear will take you into different places. It will make you do things. God says, no, don't. And you'll do it anyway. But fear is not, folks, with God, fear is never a driver. If you're afraid of something, don't let that drive you. Can you say amen? Let faith drive you. Is that right? My faith is totally different. When something comes against you, well, the Word of God says he's going to watch over me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Is that what the Word of God says? Yes. Therefore, you can just rest in God and allow those things that are, those happenings, let them happen. Is that right? Yes. Trust God. Trust God. Well, Ahaz had a, he was afraid of his enemies. So when his enemies came against him, he took stuff out of the temple and he sold it to his enemies, thinking they would come and help him. But guess what? They didn't come to help him. Doesn't that sound like God? Who are you trusting in, bro? The Bible says he chopped up the vessels of the sanctuary and he slammed the doors on the temple and he walked away. And one of the things he said, I am going to worship the God of the Syrians because they fought against us and they won. So their God must be stronger than our God. How far have we gone? Can you say amen to that? How far away from God can we stand? So at the end of chapter 28, the Bible says that he had a son, and his son was named Hezekiah. Ahaz slept with his fathers. Don't worry about it. It's not up there. Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulcher of the kings of Israel. Isn't that crazy? He was a king of Israel. But you know what? Because of the way he was, they didn't even respect what he did. So they didn't even bury him in the king's... Wow. It says, and Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Here comes Hezekiah. Everybody say, here comes Hezekiah. Here comes Hezekiah. And Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Can you say that with me? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. According to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. First thing he did was he opened up the temple. He opened up the doors and repaired them, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said to them, hear me, you Levites. I like that. Hear me, you bunch of Levites. Hear me.
Hear me.
Hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. What? There was filthiness in there? Oh, yeah. They had used it as a storehouse to put all these strange gods. Isn't that right? Is that crazy? What a slap against the God who delivers them. Is that right? For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offering in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as you see. How many of you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
See, God is a loving God. He loves you. He loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you.
Yes.
To deliver you from everything that is contrary against him that was in your life. Can you say amen to that? He loves you. But you can't just walk on that love. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God is a God that watches. He knows when things are contrary to him in your life. How many of you know? How many of you know that you can't hide from God?
Amen.
Is that right?
Hallelujah.
You can't hide.
No.
And folks, just be honest. We all have things that we're struggling with. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Some of you might say, well, no, not me. Well, you don't know any right now, but watch. You just watch. Because he, by his spirit, he has sent his spirit to help us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
All right. Just watch what's going on in some of these things that we look at. Because Hezekiah is establishing once again the temple. He says, first thing we got to do is get the filthiness out. Can you say amen to that?
Amen,
amen to that. Look at your neighbor and say, get the filthiness out. Oh, boy. Yeah. Answer back. You too. Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. Because listen, folks, I have said it before, but the kingdom is self-executing. Do you know what I say? Do you know what I'm saying? It's self-executing. This kingdom we live in, when there's something that's contrary to God, the kingdom executes against it. It's written in another way. He says, whatsoever you sow, you're going to what?
Reap.
You see, it's self-executing.
Ouch.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because whatever you pour out, guess what? The Word of God says, hey, it's going to come. If you pour out this anti-blessing against people, guess what's going to come towards you? Because the kingdom is self-executing. It happens because that's contrary to the kingdom. Anything that's contrary to the kingdom, God is going to go after. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
See, for some reason, we think that God just don't care if we do something wrong. Oh, he cares. He always has cared. That's why he sent his son to die for your sin, because he does care. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Folks, I got to tell you, when I was looking at that, boy, I got convicted of some stuff. Come on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, I'm not all that you think I might be. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Everybody say, yeah, I could have told you that, Pastor. Yeah, that's right.
I knew it.
I knew it. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Verse 9, he says, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this, because the king caused them to turn their eyes away from God. And our sons and our daughters and our wives have gone into captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
This is Hezekiah. Man, you know, it's in my heart that this thing be dissolved. Whatever the hindrance is that's stopping our blessing would be removed. How many of you say that to yourself? I want whatever's stopping my blessing, I want it removed. Come on, hallelujah. Ooh, Rabartisha. My sons, he's calling the priest that. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister to him and burn incense. He's talking to the Levites. How many of you know that we are kings?
Amen.
How many of you know that we are priests? This is a word for you here. He goes, my sons and daughters, if you will, my sons, and be not negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him. See, you've been chosen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Picked to do what? Some of us don't know, but you've been picked. Handpicked by God. I said that the other day. God's walking through the garden, picking you out of the strawberry patch, some of you out of the Pickle Patch. Do they pet Pickle Patch? They don't have a Pickle Patch. Come on, man. Be nice, Henry. All right. He says, my sons, now don't be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him to serve him, and that you might minister to him and burn incense. How many know that burning incense is talking about something? It's praying. Stand before him and you pray. And you allow this fragrance, if you will, to flow through. Can you say amen to that? No. Anyway. Then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasai, Joel, the son of Azariah, the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, Azariah, the son of Jehaliel, and of the Gershonites, Joah, the son of Zimmah, and Eden, the son of Joah. Pretty impressive how I know all those names, huh? Praise God, man. I said, man, I practiced them 3 hours this morning. Oh, no, I didn't. And the sons of Elisaphan, Shimri, and Jeiel. And the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah. And the sons of Heman, Jehiel, Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah, and Uziel. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. I want you to listen to that verse. They came according to the commandment of the king. Do we have a king?
Amen.
Ooh, we got a king.
Yes.
And he says, let's clean the house, folks. It's time for cleanliness in the house of the Lord. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it and to carry it out into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch. It took them 8 days just to get up to the porch.
Wow, that's one big porch.
The one big porch, it was a lot of junk. Can we say amen to that? Come on, man. Oh, yeah. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month, they ended. They made an end. And then they went to Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offerings with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. And David said, oh, I mean, and King Hezekiah, oh, yeah. And read the rest of this chapter because it gets really good how they dedicate this thing and they dedicate the temple once again. But I want to ask you a question. I'm going to get my notes out. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
How many of you know that? I'm just going to go through this just for a little bit, if you will. This won't take very long. Is that right? It's, you know, just step up and get inoculated. You'll be fine. I'm going to give you some word. Is that okay? I got too many messages in here. That's it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is what the Word of God says. Know ye not, do you not know? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of God dwells where?
In
you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. See, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many say amen? He's always been the same. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is what?
Holy.
Which temple you are. So if the temple is holy, you're holy. Is that right? That's the way God sees it. But sometimes we have a little problem. How many say amen to that? And some of us will say, well, you know, my flesh, I got to fight my flesh all the time, your flesh, you know, and say, you know, I'm good, my soul and my spirit, but my flesh is always fighting up against me. It's my flesh. And we use it as an excuse. Can you agree with that? We will use my flesh as an excuse. Where the Word of God tells us, number one, we have a spirit within us that God, I love this. He quickens our spirit. And our spirit, when it becomes quickened, which I would It begins to speak to the soul of man, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion, the emotions, if you want to call them emotions, but those feelings that you get. Let's just say your mind, your will, and your feelings. How many ever had your feelings hurt?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody ever had their feelings hurt?
Yeah.
So it's your mind that's being changed by the Spirit of God, the Word of God. God is you know, it, like it says in Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your
mind,
that you might prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God, right?
Amen.
That's what it says. So your spirit is changing your soul. But then when your flesh does something wrong, you say, well, it's my flesh. See, you're not getting what the Word is saying. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You're not taking on what the Holy Spirit is saying to your soul. Therefore, you step out and you blame the flesh. God does not put blame. You know that in the garden, Adam blamed Eve? Eve blamed the devil?
Yeah.
You know the only one that didn't blame anybody in the garden?
Yeah.
The devil. He didn't blame anybody. He just did what he was told to do. Go in there and come against what I've told them. I believe God did that for him. He said, because you can't be strengthened by the Word of God unless something comes against you. You say amen to that.
Yes.
You got to know that. That because your Word, because of the Word's sake, you get these things. You have these little afflictions or whatever they are, the little contrary things that come against you because of the Word's sake, because there's a Word being implanted in you. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Oh, come on, man. You know, God is a wise master builder. How many say amen to that? It's important that we begin to go after God to figure these things out. Is that okay? Don't let man show you how to do it. Let God show you how to do it. Is that okay? Let him speak to your heart, okay? So here it says, and I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Look at what it says here. What? Know ye not that your
body,
your body. Well, my flesh. Hey, shut up. Quit blaming your flesh. If you're doing something wrong, humble yourself. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. Is that right?
Yes.
If you've been born again, you're not your own. Is that okay?
Amen.
Let me put it another way. If you've been born again, you don't belong to you.
You belong to him.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Are you okay with that?
Yes. Yeah, sure is.
God doesn't have to get permission from you to do anything with you because he paid for you. Is that okay?
Yes.
Because most of the time we won't give him permission to say, hey man, you know what, God? God said, you know what? I'm gonna make it difficult for you a little bit here for a minute, because I'm working on you. And you say, no, I cannot give you a permission for that. No. Only love, God. Only love. No, you know, folks, we have a weird way of looking at things. God is trying to refocus the church to understand that everything that comes to them is out of his loving hand, no matter what it looks like.
Amen.
You got to understand that.
Yeah.
I did not like spending time in the hospital with my granddaughter, because I know that his word says by his stripes she's been healed. But I will still stand and say, God, whatever you need to help me in this, let me have it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Sometimes we navigate mean waters, hard waters,
yeah.
Rapids, is that right?
Yeah.
Things happening faster than you can even think. How many of you have been there where your rapids are happening so fast, things crumbling apart in front of you so fast that you go, God, I don't know what's going on. And he says, I love you. Trust me. Step back. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. No room for excuses, folks. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen?
Hallelujah.
your body, your spirit, they belong to God. Isn't that right? So how do we walk out of this stuff? I need to put up Proverbs 16:6, if you will. How many know the Bible says that without me you can do nothing? That's what Jesus said. Is that right? We can't do anything without him. Is that okay?
Yeah.
How many of you got are good with that?
Yeah.
I will tell you, I love it. Where it says, without me you can do nothing, I love it. Because God says, you're a pastor. Huh? Who, me? Huh? What? You're a pastor. I can't do it. And I know I can't do it. But he can do it. It's not me, it's him. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Whatever God brings you to, know this, that God deserves all the glory and all the honor because it's him, not you. Is that okay? He will use you. He will take you to places you thought you'd never be. But don't ever get this, well, it's all me. Don't ever get this mindset, because, man, I'll tell you what.
You're going to be humble.
Yeah, God will get after you. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
So in Zechariah, it says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by what?
Spirit.
It's by his spirit. That's how he does things.
Yes.
It's not by you and your power, but it's by his spirit. It's not by you and your intellectual thinking of the world, like the world thinks. That doesn't work in this world. That doesn't work in this kingdom. This kingdom works by, Robert, by being led by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Let him lead you. Allow him to lead you. Whew. Proverbs 16:6 says this, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged.
Yes.
And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. But by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Purged from where? Corazón. From your heart. Is that right?
Amen.
By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Aren't you glad for mercy?
Yeah.
Yeah, mercy. Mercy, stand up, would you? No, I'm just kidding. Mercy, I always say, yeah, always talking. You guys are talking about me. Aren't you glad for mercy? I want to show you this. Psalm 103, verse 8. Yeah, we're glad for you, mercy. Thank you. Yeah, come on. Yeah. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Is that right?
Amen.
He's slow to anger. And he's plenteous in what?
Mercy.
He's merciful. And he's gracious.
Yes.
Psalm 116, verse 5 says this. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea. Everybody say yay.
Yay.
Our God is merciful. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he's merciful?
Yes.
Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. By the way, these are the only two verses in that psalm. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2 says, oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. This scripture is talking about by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Sometimes we might be doing something wrong, but we've got to have the Holy Spirit. How many know that? How many of you ever tried to take care of something on your own?
Yeah.
I knew I couldn't. I knew I had to quit getting mad. I had an anger problem. Has anybody ever had an anger problem? Nobody had. Yeah, just me. I had an anger problem that I can't. Every time the Lord said something to me, he said, you have an anger problem. And I said, no, God, I just get a little frustrated. That's very nice. Orale. God says, oh, you're frustrated. Well, you're going to get a little more frustrated. And something else had happened, and I'd get pretty mad, and God would say, hey. You got an anger problem. And I said, I'm okay. I just got a little frustrated right there, Bob. I'm sorry. See, but God's trying to work it out. God's trying to get me to recognize in a way of humility. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because I'm saying, no, no, not me. Mm-mm. I don't got no anger problem. I'm yelling at people, yelling at my kids. Yeah, kicking my you know, throwing my lawnmower. Some of you have heard that story. But I, as a matter of fact, I was mowing the lawn. The lawnmower kept shutting off. It was a very old lawnmower, but it had a weak engine, so I could only cut like this much out of a path of grass. I had a big bunch of grass, and I could only do like 4 to 6 inches, because if I did any more than that, it shut off. And I had some people coming over, and I'm sweating, and I'm pushing, and I'm staying my little 4 inches, and all of a sudden, seemed like 4 inches turned into 2 inches. Boom. I go, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you guys ever done it? And I, boom, boom, and I fired it up, and I'd take 3 steps, and whoa. Yard was half done.
Oh, wow.
Where I've had enough. I grabbed that thing, and I just began to spin it around in circles. And I got it about floating about this high. And boom, I threw it over a barbed wire fence, and when it hit, the tires went, had plastic tires. And I go, there, serves you right. Dumb, always blaming that thing. They ain't got no brain, is that right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I tossed it over the fence. See, you guys didn't know that about me, huh? But anyway, I say, there. Right when I kind of laughed and, now what am I going to do with my yard? I said, whatever. But I looked and I turned around, and my son had a little wooden train set that he was backing up, pulling it, backing up. And the Holy Spirit said something. If you would have gone around one more time, you would have hit him.
Wow.
And it really... Now God's got my attention. Is that right?
Yeah.
I said, oh, God. He said, you have an anger problem. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I was at work, and some of my friends that I worked with, they knew me before I got saved, and they were standing outside, and everybody was talking. And then for some reason, this one guy that I used to work with, I loved the guy. I still do. He's a good brother. He's not a Christian, but we worked well together, and he goes, and he started in on me. He said, Henry, we remember who you were, how you were. And then he said, you did this, you did that. You did this, you did that. He's naming out my sins. Is that, how many of you like somebody to just call out your sins? Isn't that fun? And I'm looking at him, Mondo. His name is Armando. I go, Mondo, what are you? And he's making me mad. And there's a bunch of groups of guys, and they're all, for some reason, they all stop and they're listening to him. And now it's a big show. Now it's a big thing. And he's telling me a bunch of stuff. He said, but yeah, see, you used to be a little devil, is what he said. But now you think you're an angel. And I'm, Lord, give me a word. Yeah. I need a word. Amen?
Amen?
How many ever tried to call fire from heaven? Yeah. God, give me a word, God. I need it right now. I want to cut this guy in half, God. My anger level was way up there.
Oh,
The Lord gave me a word. He said this, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Didn't give me a word for him. He gave me a word for me. That word penetrated. That word actually came in. And see, it said by mercy and truth. See, he's having mercy on me all those times. Nah, I ain't got no anger problem. But all of a sudden, the truth of his word hit me. That's not how the kingdom operates. Can you say amen to that? So I walked away. That's a long story about that. And then I don't want to get into it now. But it says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. So even though I was kind of pushing him back, He says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That little word right there has kept me. It has changed me, if you will. The word of God will change you. It will take that thing that is contrary to you and to the kingdom, and it will transform you. It will be removed from you. Is that okay? This is cool. This is a good thought. All right, so James chapter 4, verse 6. I thought somebody was going to preach it this morning. It says, he gives more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You know what grace is? The Greek word is charis. The meaning for grace, it's a beautiful meaning, is divine influence upon your heart. And it's your reflection in your life. That's right. Divine influence in your heart and its reflection in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit is grace. Do you understand that? Grace is not like I was taught in the kingdom. I was taught till I began to look at these. I was taught that grace is unmerited favor. But that's mercy. Mercy is unmerited favor. Grace is the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? Some of you say, yeah, well, hang with me, because the Bible says you are saved by grace. Is that okay?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit comes to you and he begins to draw you in. You're saved by grace. You're not saved by unmerited favor. You see, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave it to the whole world. But his grace draws you in. Is that right? No man comes to the Father but by me, is what Jesus said. And then he said, and no man comes to me except the Father draw him. He draws you by grace. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I see some of you clicking. Okay, but we're going to keep on. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the older. Amen? Is there any elders in here? I don't think so. Yeah. We're all kids. Amen? We're all kids. Amen. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what?
Righteousness.
Humility. Humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Amen? Humility. With God, it's a big word. Amen? To us, man, somebody, well, I'm humble, bro. Hey, shut up. I don't even sound humble. Amen? Well, God taught me humble. Yeah, really, yeah.
Prove it.
Folks, God knows what humble looks like. Can I say that to you? He knows when you're not being humble. He knows when you're rising up above where you should be. How many say amen to that? See, God resists the proud, but he loves the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. So the Holy Spirit has been given. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Is that right? He said, I have to go because I have to send him. I've got to go. Because the Holy Spirit can deal with everyone at one time. Can you say amen to that? He has that ability. Where Jesus, all by himself, standing in Jerusalem at that time, he's a little limited. But the Holy Spirit is not limited. Can you say amen? And so it says right here, behold, I will send my messenger. This is in the book of Malachi, talking about John the Baptist, this part. It says, I will send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. And then it says, and the Lord whom you seek shall what? Suddenly come to his temple. What temple is he talking about? Not the one in Jerusalem. They were all in one accord. And suddenly, there was a noise from heaven. Is that like a mighty rushing wind?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And he came upon them, and they looked like tongues of fire, and they began to speak in tongues. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit made an entrance. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
I bet it was a grand entrance. Lots of noise. Amen. Lots of fire. Hey, some of these concerts now, they ain't got nothing on it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Woo, and now everybody starts speaking a different language. Amen. Woo, come on. He says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. You see, we need somebody, if you will, to speak to us words about this covenant we've been into. And there's only one that will do it. It's him. He's the only one. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Is that the last one, Terry? Yeah, it is. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Amen? See, he's going to clean you up. He's going to get your blood to boil so that impurities can pop off. Can you say amen to that? Anybody watch copper, how copper gets cleaned? They heat it. They heat it. And they keep heating it till it becomes a liquid. And when it becomes a liquid, all this nasty stuff rises up to the top. They ladle it off, and they've got pure copper. Pure copper is actually pretty clear. How many have ever seen copper in its molten state? It's almost clear. It's beautiful. Looks like gold. But it says he's going to put you in the furnace. Can you say amen to that? Can you feel it getting hot? Come on, man. Who shall stand when he appears? He's like a fuller's fire. I'm sorry, a refiner's fire. And he's like fuller's soap. Does anybody know what a fuller is?
Nope.
That's a cleaner.
Oh.
That's somebody that cleans. I remember a guy used to come by my house when my mom was alive, and he was called the fuller brush man. Yeah, he was a fuller. He brought you things to clean. And see, he's like cleaner. He's like a soap. This is Jesus. This is the Holy Ghost. He comes in to wash you. Can you say amen to that? He washes you by the word of God. The Bible talks about in Timothy, it talks about that the washings of water by the word begin to come and happen. But you got to be humble. Can you say amen? You got to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He says this. He says, my ways are not your ways. Is that right? He says, my ways are higher than your ways. Is that right?
Yep.
How do you get to his ways? You humble yourself. You humble yourself. When you humble yourself, then he says, I'll pick you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and I'll pick you up. Amen? Where's he going to pick you up to? His ways and not your ways. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Mm. Who shall stand when he appears? He's like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner. Isn't this cool?
Yeah.
How many of you guys, refine me, Lord. How many? Raise your hand. You want to be refined, man. Come on. Put on the heat. Come on. I tell you, it's really good for us.
Yeah.
It is really good for us. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi. Kings and priests, folks. Kings and priests. And purge them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, because I don't want to offer something to the Lord that's tainted. I want it righteous. Is that right? Folks, when the Holy Spirit's not talking to you about anything, when he's not convicting your heart about anything, don't worry about it. You're good. Can you say amen? But when he knocks, when he turns on a flame and you see something, take it to him. Talk to him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because he's doing something in your life, if you will. Praise God. We got to learn to yield. Is that right? We're talking this morning. How many of you ever got on the freeway where the person you're coming on and the person can move over, but they just won't? Anybody ever done that? So guess who's got to yield? The sign's on you. Is that right? As you're coming up, the sign says, you yield, bro. So you got to slow down your car and let it get in the lane and get a line. And then you go around him and you're giving him eyes. Is that right?
Uh-oh.
And it's some little lady with a little hat on.
Please, no.
And you go, oh, never mind. It's okay. Is that right? Yeah. We get all fired up. because they didn't yield. We got to learn how to yield. This is what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey." If you yield yourself to anger, you're anger's servant. Oh, come on, man. Isn't that what it says? If you yield yourself to pornography, you're pornography's servant. Woo! Come on, man. Whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servants you are to obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience to righteousness. Is that okay? Yeah. Romans 6:13 kind of feels it. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are what? Alive from the dead. What does that mean? Born again. Those that are born again, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Can you say amen to that? Instruments, your members. What's it talking about? Hands, feet, eyes, ears, nose, instrument. How about, what would we just call it like we did today? The body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yield unto it. Amen? Yes. Learn to yield. If you're not yielding, tell God, "God, I'm not yielding, but I want to yield, so help me, God. Show me how to yield to your righteousness, to what you want." Can you say amen to that? Yes. Your ears. God wants to be speaking things to you all day long if you let him.
Yes.
But you won't yield. Woo. Romans 6:19 says this. "I speak after the manner of men because of the what? Infirmity of your flesh." What's he talking about? Didn't we just get through talking about, hey, well, wait a minute, that's the body. You see, we got to understand that this body has its weaknesses. How many can say, yes, I understand it? How many? Or does anybody understand that your body has weaknesses?
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. And that's what Paul's talking about. He said, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness," listen to what he's saying, "and to iniquity, even so now." Everybody say now.
Now.
Now. Amen?
Amen.
Right now. Start now.
Now.
Amen.
Don't start tomorrow.
Start now.
Tell Rosie, "I'm gonna fast tomorrow." Shut up. Okay. Maybe I won't then. Start now.
Okay.
Now. Now yield your members servants to righteousness and holiness. You see, you're either going to be a servant to the negative, or you're going to be a servant to the positive. How many know being a servant of righteousness is a good thing? Can you say amen to that? Now, all of that because I know what God was saying to me about today. How many how many days is it, John? 11 days? 9 days. What happens in 9 days?
The election.
How many are glad it's happening?
Yeah.
I'm glad because we get that garbage off my TV. Amen. Talk about a bunch of mudslingers. Amen. Yeah, talk about not keeping it clean.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
We ought to keep it clean, folks.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are responsible as kingdom kids to keep it clean. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah. Amen.
Psalm 75, verses 4 through 7 says this. "I said to the fool, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion." Promotion. How many like promotion?
Yeah.
Promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is judge. He puts down one and sets up another. Who does that?
God.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all need to vote. How do you like that? Y'all vote.
Yeah.
Get down there and vote. Come on, man.
Come on.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what. Be comfortable with the outcome.
Yes.
Serve no matter what. Can you say amen to that? Yes. Read Romans 13. It talks about the powers that be.
That's right. Yes.
God has ordained them.
Yep.
Who ordained them? God has ordained them. Ooh, it can be pretty rough. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know. I've had people... Oh, never mind. I better not say that. The next verse is Daniel chapter 20, verses 20 through 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Wisdom and what?
Might.
So is God wise?
Yes.
See, he holds wisdom. Wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the season. And then it says he removes kings and sets up kings.
Right.
He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding.
Right.
See, he sets them up. Or he takes them down. That's up to God. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
See, God is in control of this whole thing. Can you guys believe that?
Yeah.
Do you believe that God is in control
yeah.
of this planet right now?
Yeah.
We've got to believe that.
Yeah.
You start letting go of that, folks, you're going to believe anything.
Uh-oh.
Hold on to the fact that you know that God has always been in control. 1 Thessalonians says this. This is the last one. Can you say amen? There's a man. Okay. All right. Praise God. We got it. Go vote. Be nice. Amen? Yeah. Okay. Here it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "See that none render evil for evil to any man." Can you say amen? Think about election time. Do not render evil for evil to anyone. But follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to how many men? All men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Amen? In everything, give thanks. This, come on, man. How many of you want to do God's will? This is the will of God concerning you. I don't know why I said it like that, but anyway, you. He says, "This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying." You know what that is? That's preaching. And that's when people come to speak. Do not despise it. Okay? Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good.
Yes.
Abstain from all what?
Yes.
Appearance of evil. See that last part? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Whatever the outcome is, if it's not what you wanted, abstain. Because folks, we are light in this earth. People around us, if we begin spewing out the same kind of stuff that they spew out, there's no difference. It doesn't look any different. But we are of the kingdom of God. No matter what God decides to do, is that okay to say that? Can I say, no matter what he decides to do in our nation, whatever he decides, I'm good with it.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Folks, I sense God saying, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Be who I've called you to be. Don't release yourself because of your feelings. Don't release who you are because it's not what you wanted. Remember Naboth? Wah, wah, wah. That's all I don't need to hear. There's a bunch of folks from Sarita House of Worship going, wah, wah, wah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Especially because God has already reproved us over it. Folks, you might not realize it, but this is a reproof. See, God has, in the word of my calling, this is what God said. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And then he said, Henry, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Folks, this is a reproof. God is saying, hold to who you are.
Yes.
Don't let anybody tell you any different about who you are. If they get in your face, we beat you, we won, we whatever. If they get in your face, same breath. Yeah. Praise God. I will pray.
Bless your day.
I will pray without ceasing.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen? That's what God calls us to. This is the will of God concerning you. Give thanks in all things. Can you stand? Father, I just thank you for your word, God. I thank you for what you're saying to us this morning. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that as we do go through this thing we're about to go through, Father God, as a nation, Father, I pray, God, that your people will be outstanding, that there would be a flow of light like never before, no matter what happens. We thank you, Father God, that you've called us to this, to represent you as the body of Christ in the earth. So, Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. You are worthy for us, Father, to submit to whatever you have. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Hug somebody's neck. Tell them you love them. Praise God. Thank you for being in Sarita House of Worship this morning. Amen.